You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Of the mitzvah of tshuva, the concept of doing repentance. The Rambam categorizes this as one of the mitzvahs of the Torah in his Sefer HaMitzvahs and in his Mishnah Torah as well. The Rambam phrases this as his opening statement that whether you violated a mitzvah aseh of the Torah or a mitzvah los aseh Torah, if a person violated them, whether it's purposely, bezugdom, mishkag, accidentally, you have an eitzah. Yaseh tshuva, you can repent. Yoshu mecheto, you can therefore decide to do tshuva from the chet that you did. But besides doing the tshuva process, which involves mental, physical, emotional separation from the sin, as we're going to understand very shortly, you also have to articulate the chayav lezvados, the fnei hakel baruch hu. You have to articulate the tshuva with your lips. And over here it says, v'svados chatos masha asu. This is called the concept of vidui, mitzvah saseh. And one thing is for sure, we do this continuously during the month of Elul, as we prepare for Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and we surely do it during our davening from Rosh Hashanah through Yom Kippurim. We say statements like Ona Hashem Chatosi, Yovisi, Poshati Lefanecha, Asisi Kach Vekach, Nichamti, Boshti, Mimase, Oilam, and Rachos Ledavazer. This is concept of Tshuva, making these Viduyim, are part and parcel of the Nusach Tila Chazal enacted going back to time of antiquity. Now over here, I want to mention, before I get into some of my salient points this morning, the fact of the matter is the Rambam later on gives us the major principles of what is involved in the tshuva process. The Rambam says later on in the second chapter, Mahi tshuva, what is the essence of tshuva in all of its dimensions? Sheyazav hachot echeto, a person has to perform azivas echet. I'm literally deciding to dissociate myself, forsake this sinful behavior of the past. Yesirim machshavtai, literally I'm trying to wipe it away from my mind that I shouldn't think about doing this chet anymore. V'yigmar lo sheyaso od. And quite obviously, I make in my mind that I'm not going to do this sin anymore in the future. This is called Aziva Sechet, Shenemar Yazav Rasha Darcho. Besides that, Yisnachem Al Shava, the concept of having regret on what I did in the past, Achrei Shuvi Nichamti, and then Kabbalah Al HaAsid, that I'm going to have a new way of life from this point on. And the Rambam says, "V'yodel of yodei atulumos," that the Rebbeinu Shalom should see what you're saying with your mouth, and articulating that you really mean it in the depth of your heart, of your soul. He should give edush lo yoshel lezechet olam, that your desire at this moment in time is not to return to this sinful behavior anymore. Shalom lo noma adol kein lamasi adenu v'tzarech lezvados b'sfas loma inyanas elu shagama belibo. All these concepts of Aziva Zachet and Charat Ala'ava, Kabbalah La'os, and all this, it's not sufficient to only mentally contemplate this, but there's a requirement to articulate it and verbalize it in substantial statements, as have been ultimately incorporated and formulated by Chazal in Anusach HaTfilos. We recite in the Slichos, we recite in all the Tfilos that we recite, once again, from Rosh Hashanah all the way through Yom Kippurim. And that's the practical way, emotionally, psychologically, verbally, going through the tshuva process itself. The Rambam does tell us that when it comes to the concept of tshuva, the Rambam says that tshuva and tzaaka are yafal olam. There's no specific time of the year at which you can do tshuva. You can do tshuva and cry out to Hashem and beseech Hashem to forgive you 365 days a year, 24/7. However, despite the reality of that fact, ba'asara hayamim, when it comes to the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim, hu yofa biyoser. There's a certain specialty, a certain quality of doing tshuva during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, starting with Rosh Hashanah through Yom Kippurim. Furthermore, says the Rambam, we have a Kabbalah. U'miskabeles hi, miyat. The person does real emes de ga'anis tshuva during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Hashem says, if I see it sincere, I will accept it immediately. Shenemar, dirshu Hashem bimotzo. Seek out Hashem in the time period he has allotted for everybody to think and to ultimately do introspection and desire in their heart and their mind and verbalize the desire to return to Hashem. The 10 days of Aseres Yemei Tshuva have been selected by Hashem to be the premier time during the year when this tshuva process can be reached on its highest level. And therefore, if that's the case, we therefore have to take advantage of this time period. And since we're coming very shortly next week to Rosh Hashanah, the Aseres Yemei Tshuva is coming very near. And therefore, we shouldn't lose the golden opportunity when Hashem is ready and waiting to hear our Cheshbon HaNefesh and Atzar to Tshuva, to actualize it, to feel it, to emotionally say it, and feel this in the internal essence of our being, to do this as the way Chazal prescribed, as I mentioned before, all the parts of the tshuva process, that we should use these 10 days in their optimum form to try to ultimately reach tshuva in the highest way possible we can. He then says, the Rambam, that when it comes to the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, the ultimate, most important day where the tshuva process just must reach its climax is Yom Kippurim. And the Rambam says that Yom Kippurim is the Zman Tshuva L'Yoch L'Rabim. It's a time of repentance that applies to basically the Yochid, to the Tzibor, who kates Mechila V'Sichli Yisrael. It is the culmination of the forgiveness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Klal Yisrael, which means Yom Kippur is the ultimate finishing touch that allows the tshuva process to reach its ultimate climax and to be able to reach that level of total, total rectification and ultimate tshuva gemura. The Yom Kippur is the kates, the completion of this process. Therefore, says the Rambam, Chayoven hakol lasos tshuva. Everybody who is able should be able to do tshuva, should do tshuva. And hisfados, as I pointed out, tshuva has to be not only a mental process, you have to articulate it. So you have to say vidui on Yom Kippurim over and over again to show your desire to do tshuva. U'mitzvah Yom Kippurim sheyaskol me'erev hayom. You stop being mezvada from even erev Yom Kippurim when you're davening mincha, and you continue all the way to the end of Yom Kippur during Nila, where we say vidui over and over and over again until we complete the actual avodah of tefillah for the Heilige Yom HaKippurim. So quite obviously we're doing a lot of davening, we're doing a lot of praying, a little articulation, we're mentally, psychologically going through these processes. And I mentioned this many times, this concept of tshuva, of being able to repent, is not a chiddush from Har Sinai, but it goes back to the time of Brias Olam, of Adam V'Chava, where the Rabban Hashem already taught Adam V'Chava that if they sin, that Hashem will accept their repentance if they do tshuva. Later on with Cain V'Hevel, the Rabban Hashem repeats the concept that if Cain wants to repent, that he has the ability to do such, and Hashem will mekabel his tshuva if he does the tshuva properly. And tshuva has been a concept that's universal. Not only Jews are able to do tshuva, but even the non-Jewish world are able to do tshuva. And to highlight this, one of the most popular, one of the most important haftarahs we read during the season of Aseres Yemei Tshuva is the haftarah of Mafti Yona that people read on Yom Kippurim. If you go in shuls where people are paying for the various kibbutzim, where people pay to have the schus of saying Mafti Yona, is simply incredible. But the fact of the matter is, Chazal used what happened in this Goyish city, big city, And Yonah came along and finally gave his nevuah of the ultimate destruction of the city because of their major, major acts of chatayim. So the question over here is, what happened when they heard the nevuah and the king urged them, well, we have to respond and we can't just let ourselves be destroyed because of our iniquities. There was a mass desire amongst the population of Nineveh to literally get themselves into a major, major tshuva mode. They put on sackcloth and they started to cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ask for forgiveness. And it says in the Pasuk in Yonah, Vayar lakim es ma'aseyim kishovim midachem hara, vayinochem elakim ala rosh ediba lasuzhem v'lo asa. When Hashem saw that it's not only the verbalizing tshuva, but he saw on a deeds level, on an operative, physical, human level, that they are no longer committing the sins that they committed in the past. They've gone away from their evil ways of the past. Hashem relented on the Gezeirah Ra to destroy them. And therefore Hashem basically took the Gezeirah against Nineveh and literally destroyed that decree against them, allowing them to survive, allowing them to go on, because he saw them doing an emes deka tshuva. This city was a tshuva of the non-Jewish world, not of the Jewish world, but if they do tshuva properly, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts the tshuva, whether it's a Jew or a guy, and allows them to start a new life, a new agenda, an ability to literally, in the coming year or years, be able to uplift themselves, doing the respective mitzvahs they're required to do. A non-Jew has their agenda of the Zaymissas B'nai Noach. We have our agenda of 613 mitzvahs plus. And therefore, each specific group, based upon their chiyuv and mitzvahs, have to do what they possibly can to do what they possibly can do in order to, therefore, eliminate the chatoyim that are standing in their way, to give them the ability to quite obviously have the chance to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is a universal concept. And therefore, we are Ashreinu Matel Chalkenu, the Aman Yivchak, who obviously is supposed to lead the way when it comes to the tshuva process. I always tell my non-Jewish friend acquaintances that I deal with in the world at large that Rosh Hashanah is not merely a day of prayer and repentance for the Jewish people alone, but the whole world is judged on this period of time. The Lashon of the Mishnah, Masechtas Rosh Hashanah, is on Rosh Hashanah, Kol Bo'ei Olam Ovrim Lefanav K'bnei Maron. Everybody in the world, Jew and non-Jew, are coming in front of the Kisei HaKavod in order for Hashem to analyze them. Shenem Hayotzer, Yachal Libo Mameven Akoma Asayem, that the halach is Hashem analyzes with divine providence and knowledge everybody's deeds on this day, Jew and non-Jew alike. So therefore they have to realize if they're pious non-Jews, they should also do praying on Rosh Hashanah. They don't have the chiyuv of doing all the mitzvahs hayom. They don't have the chiyuv of listening to the shofar or doing the other things we do on the Sudas Yom Tov and such, or when it comes to Rosh Hashanah. But they should be repenting because they're also being judged on this universal day of repentance for mankind, which will determine, is the world going to continue to exist? Is the world so corrupt that it's not going to exist any further? The whole universe is being judged in its worthiness to continue on Rosh Hashanah, and therefore the COVID of this day, the severity of the importance and significance of the day is highlighted by Chazal in many different Midrashi Chazal throughout our Midrashic literature. What I want to do today, very, very simply, is explain something which over the many years that I've discussed this topic, I've alluded to, I sometimes talked about it, but it's always good to do chazara before you do a mitzvah, right before you do the mitzvah. You could be a bucky in doing this mitzvah, But all the gedolim and all the yeshivas realize that over time you sometimes forget things you're supposed to remember when it comes to the minutiae of the performance of the mitzvah. So before mitzvahs are done, sometimes they start doing the chazara about the mitzvahs that are about to take place 30 days before. Some do it a couple of weeks before, a couple of days before. But it's good to chazar over what are the halachas, the parameters of the mitzvah asay of doing tshuva, in order to understand what our mandate is going to be as we go from Chodesh Elul and a couple of days into Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Then when we do the mitzvah, they should be done with the halachically appropriate activities, mentally, psychologically, emotionally, and physically, in order to maximize this tshuva process to bring it to the highest level it possibly can be. Now, I do want to mention that initially, when it came to describing different types of averos people can possibly violate, that there is a brisa, a Tanaic source in the Gemara and Yoma, that tells us that you have to be aware of the fact that different averos on different levels, in order to get ultimate kapara, require different things to accomplish this kapara activity. This is called the four different levels of averos, as is delineated in the Gemara, and once again codified by the Rambam in the first chapter of Hilchos Tshuva. What are the four different types of averos, and how is tshuva performed? So says the Rambam, if a person violated a mitzvah asay, where there's no karis, I didn't eat matzah, I didn't put on tefillin, there's no karis involved in their violation, what do you do in order to facilitate tshuva? You do the actual process of tshuva I described before, all the halachas, how tshuva is done. And as soon as tshuva is done, a kapara is given, and a zaz mikam, you don't have to move. Hashem grants you tshuva and grants it immediately. That's if you're volume a mitzvah asay, which doesn't have any karis involved. Ava al mitzvahs lo sasay, if you violate a lav in the Torah, which is only a lav with a zechiyev of malchus, but there's no karis involved, you eat some non-kosher food where there's a lav in eating non-kosher food. As an example, over there, what do you have to do? That besides doing tshuva, you need now Yom Kippur to come along, and with the Kedushi Yom Kippur, B'yom HaZeichap Aleichem, coupled with your tshuva, they together will, could obviously be mechapra on los aseis, which have no karis. What happens if you violated a mitzvah that the punishment for non-performance of violation is karis, which is a very serious punishment, being cut off in the world to come, be cut off in this world? So over here, says the Rambam, you have three things that have to be done. You first have to do tshuva. You have to go and use Yom Kippur and Kedushas Hayom to help in the kapara process. But then you need Yisurim. You need some physical pain and anguish to be inflicted upon you to complete the kapara process. So these three things are needed to be mechaper on an Aveira, where there's an Issa Karis and Vala punishment of Karis if you violate. But then the Rambam says, category number four, what happens if you performed an Aveira that caused a Chilel Shem Shamayim, a total Chilel Hashem? Over here, this requires four activities for Kapara to take place. Of course, you have to do Tshuva. You have to use Yom Kippur and Kedusha Seyom to help facilitate the Kapara. Furthermore, Yisurim, you're going to be inflicted with Yisurim, physical punishments on your body, in order to help the kapara. And ultimately speaking, Misa Mechaperes, death is the final Makabah Patish, in ultimately the kapara of Eresat Chil Hashem. These are called the four dargas of the actual Shuva process. But what's interesting is, despite the delineation of this four concepts of four different types of averos, the Rambam tells us in the same chapter something which seems to be a little contradictory to this. The Rambam says that when you don't have a Beis HaMikdash in existence, and the Avodas Yom Kippurim, which is contained in Achrei Motz, cannot be performed, the only thing we have available to cause kapara is tshuva. And tshuva is mechaperis, this is the crucial expression, al kol averos. It's mechaper on all the sins we possibly can be performed. Afilo rasha kol yamav, even if you're a wicked person your entire life, for us a tshuva b'achron, and you only did tshuva at the end, it literally eradicates Amos Kirin Lo Shem Dova Mirisho. The rishis you did is eliminated by the tshuva. He brings the pasuk to demonstrate this. At Atzmash Yom Kippurim Lietzim, living through the day of Yom Kippur and experiencing the sanctity and the power of this day, is Mechapel Ashavim, does kapar for those who return. Kibiyom Zeichapalechem. The Rambam in this little piece does not mention what type of averi doing tshuva for. It seems to imply that tshuva has the capacity to mechaper by itself on every one of the averis I mentioned before, on an asei she'ein bo karis, on a lav she'ein bo karis, on averis that have a chiv karis, on averis that have chil Hashem. The Rambam seems to imply almost explicitly that doing tshuva with a whole heart and a whole soul, the chalavocha nafshecha, allows you to mechapa on all the averis you've done, even towards the end of your life, to the point that they no longer exist. And Yom Kippur itself is a proper and very powerful help in accomplishing this. So even though we don't do any avoda b'zman hazeh, because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash being rebuilt yet, experiencing Kedushas Yom Kippur with doing tshuva has the capacity to eliminate everything. So we have now the problem of two Rambams that seem on a surface level to be contradictory. How can one Rambam say that tshuva Yom Kippur does the job in its entirety? And how does the other Rambam say that's not the case? Sometimes you need Yisurin, sometimes you need Misa. So what's the resolution for this? So the answer that's given is based upon another Gemara in Yoma, in which you have one of the greatest Amorayim of historical periods of time that existed during the beginning of the Amoraic period. His name was Reish Lakish. He was one of the greatest Balei Tshuva of the Amoraic period that is mentioned and discussed in Talmudic text. And he became, not only was he a Baal Tshuva, but he became one of the greatest Amorayim in that period, being a chavrusa of the great Amora Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan and him were chavruses their entire time together. In fact, Rabbi Yochanan married off this Reish Lakish to his sister when it comes to giving him a wife once he did tshuva. And Reish Lakish is continuously brought down in the Gemaras from daf to daf, arguing, debating with Rabbi Yochanan when it comes to halacha lamasa. Rav Yochanan loved the Reish Lakish. He enjoyed the back and forth between them and their halachic discussions and debates. And this Reish Lakish used to be involved in activities. I would hate to say it, but it sounded like he was involved with gangsters and mobsters. And he knew who these chevra are and how they conducted themselves. And there's the Talmud Yerushalmi text that says that once one of the Amorayim were captured by a group of Goyish mobsters, where everybody else thought that they couldn't do anything to help save their fellow colleague. Reish Lakish says, I still remember what it means being a mobster in the past and how to talk to these guys. I'm going to willing to risk my life and go and negotiate with them and save our fellow Amora. And the Talmud Yerushalmi tells us, Reish Lakish did exactly that. And with the koyach of his knowledge of how to talk and deal with these people, he ultimately saved his fellow Amora, brought him back safely, and was able to accomplish, with his knowledge of how you deal with such individuals, the salvation and the pekuach nefesh of, therefore, all that's taking place. And since he knew how to talk to gangsters, since he was once involved with these people in his early years before he became a Baal Tshuva, he knew how to talk to them, how to rationalize with them, how to logically impact upon them. And he literally saved a fellow Amora of his to the point he brought him back totally safely. And Rish Lakish, therefore, quite obviously, despite his background and the knowledge he had of how people of that level of iniquity conduct themselves, he was such a Baal Tshuva that quite obviously he was lauded by Chazal as being one of the greatest Amoraim of the Amoraic period. He is quoted throughout Shas in Talmud Bavli, in Talmud Yerushalmi. And therefore, he's a paradigm example of how a person can do tshuva on such a level and therefore reach a total change of personality, a change of conduct of life, how literally you can go from one extreme to the other extreme, from tumah latara. So if a person says, I can't do it, it's impossible, Reish Lakish can be shown as being the example that Baruch Hashem, nobody listening to me today is a member of a mob or was ever involved as a mob boss being involved in their inappropriate activities. But nevertheless, Reish Lakish was. He did a tshuva gemura, and by doing that, he became the great, great Amora, Reish Lakish, who many times we paskin like him in many areas of Torah Halacha.
You are listening now, with that little to introduction, Ben-Torah.com.
When it comes to dealing with the quandary we have in the Rambam text, where the Rambam says that on one hand, you need the Dalet Chalukei Kapara in order to do tshuva on all types of averos, and the other Rambam says that tshuva alone is sufficient, and Yom Kippur helps complete the tshuva process of tshuva alone, even though there's no avoda of a karbanis taking place in the Beis HaMikdash. How do you reconcile these two Rambams? So the world of Brisk, Soloveitchik Mishpach in particular, said the answer can be found in the Gemara in Yoma itself, on Daf Peivav Amabez, where Reish Lakish tells us that in actuality, based upon his experience in life and his metamorphosis, what he learned and experienced and underwent is the knowledge that there are two different types of tshuva. What I call the fundamental, lower level, and the second will be discussed is the superior form of tshuva, which is the ideal one we're supposed to achieve and strive for because of its potency. So listen to what Reish Lakish says. Reish Lakish says, if I do tshuva because of fear of Hashem, fear of punishment, yiras ha'onesh, what I'm able to do with my tshuva, gedola tshuva, that it reduces the sin that was done in mezid, in a purposeful, rebellious way, it takes that avera and reduces it down as if it was done bishkoga, accidentally. It lessens the severity of the crime. It doesn't eliminate it, but it lessens the severity of the crime. Therefore, it's more likely the Bezen Shomala will forgive you because it was a shogeg rather than a mezid. But then, says Reish Lakish, if I do a tshuva based upon the concept of Avat Hashem, love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then that type of tshuva is so superior. Zedonis Nasalo Kizachios. Not only does the Avera of Zadon disappear into thin air, as if there's the delete button and it's no longer on your rap sheet in Shemayim concerning what you've done in your life in the past year or years beforehand, it's eliminated from any type of recording, but somehow it becomes a zechus. It's looked upon as a positive thing that in Shemayim you're given reward for having done a tshuva mi'ahava. Later on, the Rambam says, in explanation of this, how can the concept of doing tshuva mi'ahava be looked upon as a zechus? So the Rambam later explains in Hilchos Tshuva a very, very interesting Maimon Chazal. The Chazal says that when it comes to Olam HaEmes, he says, B'mokim shebalei tshuva omdim, in the place where Balei Tshuva are in the world to come, when they come to the ultimate reward, in certain respects they're higher then the reward being given to tzaddikim gemurim who've been tzaddikim their entire life. And the Rambam uses the principle contained in Pirkei Avos, which is a divine principle going back to Har Sinai. And what is the principle? Lefum tsar agra, according to the person's pain that they need in performing mitzvahs, mitzvahs ase, mitzvahs los ase, according to the pain, agra, so is the divine reward by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In this world, in the world to come, lefum tsar agra, the more pain, the more gain involved in what when it comes to your ultimate divine reward. And the explanation given is very simple, that when a person was brought up in a very rarefied environment, never even exposed to sin, never even heard about sinful behavior of people, what's going on in the world, they were sheltered in a very sheltered environment, no exposure to all the crazy mishigasim and tumas that exist in this world, that person could obviously has to work upon themselves to become a tzaddik and tzaddikes, but that which prevents people accomplishing that is not really present for them because they're not being exposed to the other styles of life that involve tuma and averos chamuros. They're not in that culture. They're not living in that part of the real world. So their ability to become Elecha, Taira, Jews and Jewesses, and be involved in Teira mitzvahs with Kedusha surrounding them from all sides. The parents of Kedushim and the grandparents and all their relatives and all their friends. That Tzadik Gomer gets Char and Shemai for what they did. But it's a painless process for them to be able to do that. But a person who's about tshuva, who grew up in an environment exposed to all the craziness contained in our crazy world. And boy, oh boy, in our culture today, what we are exposed to when it comes to this woke culture is the craziest of craziest machshavos that ever really existed in human history. To claim there's no longer a concept of a male and a female, and males could be females, females could become men, and to literally eliminate the biological realities of human beings are making up a new type of culture that exists on fantasy and sheker, and to expose people, whether you like it or not, to all the tumas ba'olam hazeh. You can drive in a car in Manhattan, and there's a question whether you can drive there. When you look at the billboards and everything else you're exposed to, it's simply mind-boggling. People walk around half undressed in this world, even on city streets. We're living in a society full of tuma from the beginning to end. And therefore, if you're in that type of environment, you try to protect yourself. But unfortunately, when you're exposed to something, it has some impact upon you. For a person to have been brought up in this type of environment, and maybe not all their family members are observant Jews, maybe some of them have assimilated and acculturated, maybe some of them have married out of the faith and joined other faiths, to come from a culture, and perhaps even to be from a culture of violent individuals that are gangsters and such, and then decide, I want to forget all about that stuff. I want to get rid of it. I want to become a Baal Tshuva and become a pure and a very meticulous, observant Jew and Jewish, and observe Tayyag mitzvahs. That's not an easy job to do. You got to get rid of all the other secular, mundane, profane types of influence and impact that were upon you from all sides. Unfortunately, being in that type of life and environment for who knows how many years, to literally throw it away, start a new lifestyle, start a new life and period, and be involved in Kiddush and Torah and Mitzvahs day and night, and literally set your mind to build yourself anew, get married, have a family, and have a totally new type of lifestyle basically brought into your life, that requires effort, requires pain, it requires tremendous, tremendous exertion on your part. And since your memory cells always have some zechrutis of the past, you got to keep that out of your mind. You can't let yourself think about the past. You have to forget about it and think about the present and the future in Kedusha V'Tara. That requires effort. That requires pain. And the Rambam says, therefore, Baal Tshuva, who had to go through this type of tsar, pain, and effort to become a full-fledged Baal Tshuva on all the levels I mentioned before, And they're doing it not because they're afraid of punishment. They're doing it because they learned about God and they fell in love with God. And they want to do it because they want to come close to the God. And they want to show the Ahavta Hashem Elokecha, that they know what that means. And they want to perform that in their lifetime. And therefore their reason for tshuva is pure, is kadosh, because of my love of Hashem. Not I'm a fearful of punishment, but I want to develop a kesher, a connection to Hashem on the highest level. Since a person who's about tshuva has to work very hard to go from one extreme to the other extreme. From tzava ar kicks in, according to the pain, so is the gain. Not only in the concept of what happens in a gymnasium, but in a Beis Medrash, in a house of Kedusha V'Tara, emotional pain, physical pain, we're working to build ourselves up, separate ourselves from the tomb of society, and return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is weighed very significantly in Shemayim. The more pain and effort you put into your shtadlus to become a Hilga Torah Jewess, that effort is important, it's significant, and it adds to the schar in Shemayim. When you finally accomplish that, you come to the next world. Hashem says, I saw how much time and effort it took you to go from one extreme to the other extreme. I appreciate it. I am machshav it. I'm going to award you accordingly. The more pain and yagi you put into Torah v'mitzvahs, that heightens the schar that you get for doing these mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim and not being involved in the averus of the world at large. So that's why the Rambam says, "Ma'amai mechazal, b'mokim shebalei tshuva omdim real balei tshuva, who serve Hashem from love and went from one extreme to another extreme. The schar they get in olam hava and shemayim ends up ironically being perhaps more than a tzaddik gamur." Because with a tzaddik gamur got their entire life without having negative influences impact upon them. And they're able to reach their ultimate goal without negative things impacting and preventing them. That required less effort on their part than the Baal Tshuva who had to overcome all the impediments that confront them from their past life and certain personalities that still want to maintain friendships with them but don't believe in their religious ideals and goals, and perhaps oppose it, and perhaps threaten them with all different types of things if they continue in their religious exploration and desire to return to God. To overcome all of that opposition, internally, externally, and to reach the same goal that the tzaddik gamur came to, that's tzar, that's pain, that's avodas Hashem. From tzar agra, according to the pain, such is the reward. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, in Shemayim you will see that tzaddikim gemurim, as great as they are, they get the ultimate reward. People of Balei Tshuva who reach the same goal, but with more pain, they're going to get even bigger schar because of their hishtadlus. So says Reish Lakish, when do we have the dalit chalukei kapara? That's when you're only doing tshuva because of fear of punishment. When you do it because of fear of punishment, that means you really haven't done a total tshuva gemura of aziva sachet, of uprooting it from your mind and heart, having a feeling of regret what you did in the past, charata la'ava, kabbalah asid. It's not really a fundamentally pure tshuva. That is the pure return to Hashem on the level that Hashem can give edus. You're not going to go back to the bad ways anymore. On that level, you're able to diminish the level of the chet, and therefore not be punished so severely, but depending upon the severity, you might need, besides the tshuva, Yom Kippur, Yisurim, and sometimes Misa, to mechaper. And that's what that Rambam on the four dagas of tshuva is talking about. But if you do a tshuva gemura based upon Avat Hashem, connecting to HaKadosh Baruch emotionally, psychologically, physically, and you literally feel a love of Hashem and an intimacy and connection to Hashem every minute of your day. You have a love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which continuously excites you to do more Torah and mitzvahs and do tremendous ma'asim tovim in this world. If that's the motivating factor, that allows the Hashem to give edus that he or she did a tshuva gemura. And if that's the case, Hashem presses in Shemayim the delete button that eliminates entirely the sinful behavior of the past. When you go after 120 years up into Shemayim and they talk about what you did in this world, they'll never show that divine video of any activities of negativity if you accomplish tshuva mi'ava in this world before you leave it. And therefore, for tshuva mi'ava, you don't need, ultimately speaking, yisurim for kapara. You don't need death for kapara. The tshuva done because of avat Hashem, together with Yom Kippur, as I'm going to explain very shortly, gives you the total tikkun you need, that it can be said that you eliminated the sins and the divine button in Shemayim, obliterating that divine video of what you did in your life in the past is no longer part of your record. And in Shemayim, they'll look upon you as being a tzaddik, a tzaddikas gemura, and the schar you'll get will be totally according. And if this is done through the efforts of having been about tshuva, from Tzara Agra, you might be one of those who is zocha to be said, B'makim shebalei tshuva oimdim, tzaddikim gemurim, are not able to reach that level. So this is the way they quote Reish Lakish in the Brisker World of resolving the contradiction in the Rambam. The only last thing I want to mention before I finish this shiur today is how does this bring in the concept and the yesod and the principle of one major thing. And that is, if tshuva mi'av is able to eliminate everything, what is the purpose of Yom Kippur? I could do tshuva mi'av the whole year round. Why is it that I need Yom Kippur? Zeres made tshuva, and the Rambam says it's the keitz, mechila, v'slich, it's the ultimate completion. What's going on over here? So I just want to share with you for a couple of minutes what my Rebbe or Soloveitchik said in the name of the Briska dynasty. And he said the following. When a person commits an avera, there are two things that happen to you. Number one, you violated an asay or los asay, which is looked upon as a rebellious activity against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If the world was run by Midas Adin, you would have been killed on the spot for rebellion. But since the world is run by Midas Arachamim, Hashem gives you a chance to rethink what you did, to tshuva upon it, repent, and return to Hashem. But there's only one problem. Even if I did tshuva gemura mi'ava on an aver I did in the past, that takes away any punishment of the avera on any level whatsoever. Period. It literally, the zadon itself becomes a schus, it becomes a positive thing for you. But there's still one problem. Mitzvahs have the capacity to sanctify us in our neshama. Averas have the capacity to contaminate us, to spiritually take our pure neshama and make it a contaminated neshama. It's metamtam the neshama. Even though I do tshuva mi'ava, I might be able to eliminate the sin from the historical record that I did in the past, but my neshama is still tainted because of the taint that the sin causes in the purity of my neshama tahara that Hashem gave me. How does the purification of my neshama tahara take place? When does it take place? Does it take place in this world? Does it take place in the next world? So concerning this, we have the famous statement of the great Taneig Baal Tshuva, the famous Rabbi Akiva, the one who, basically after Churban Bayis Sheni, was the leader of the Torah world and his great Talmidim. The great ones mentioned the Gemara Yevamos, which he basically gave over his Torah to, despite the loss of so many other Talmidim, but these were the great Tanoim, Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, Shimon ben Yochai, all of these great, great Tanoim, Talmidim of his. He basically told us, Ashreichem Yisrael, fortunate you, Klal Yisrael, when it comes to the ultimate phenomenon of how, in fact, the ultimate tshuva process takes place. To quote him explicitly, Mishnah at the end of Masechtas Yoma, Omer Rabbi Akiva Ashrechem Yisrael, V'femi atem atarin, in front of who you are purifying yourself, Umimetar eschem. And who purifies you? Avichem shebeshemayim. The Rabbanu Shem says, I'm going to purify you. Shenema vazarati aleichem. Mayim tahorim vitihartem. Hashem says, I'm going to purify you. And it says, therefore, mikveh is Hashem. Hashem is the mikveh of Klal Yisrael. The same way a mikveh takes away tumah, HaKadosh Baruch is metar Klal Yisrael. When? On the day of Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur it says, and we say this over and over in our tefillahs, Ki b'yom hazeh yechap aleichem. On this day Hashem says, I'm going to give you a kapara. I'm going to mechap aleichem. And what's the kapara? We're going to purify for all your sins. Lifnei Hashem to Torah. Hashem will literally give you Tahara. What does that mean? So Rav Soloveitchik said, the Kedushas Hayom Yom Kippur, which is basically under the divine control of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he sees that he or she who did tshuva on such a level that they eradicated their sinful behavior, they did a tshuva mi'ava, and therefore the sin's been forgiven, it's been eradicated from the list against them. But they need the neshama to be rectified, to become a neshama tahira. So Hashem says, on the day of Yom Kippur, if you do your part of the avod of a tshuva gemura mi'ava, I'll do my part, and take your neshama that's been tainted, recycle it, cleanse it, and what I'm going to do is mechochat aseichem mataraschem from all the chatam, no matter what it is, I'm going to literally purify your soul once again, expunge the tumah and the sin from it, make it as pure as it was at the time it was given to you at the time of birth. Lifnei Hashem titaru, on the day Yom Kippur, Hashem is going to give the makkah b'patish to literally give you not only total expiation for all your sins, and literally kapara for all your sins, and eradicate them from the list against you, as if they never were, that the zedonis become basically zechuyos for you, because you worked hard, and l'fnei tzar agra, the pain and effort gives you schar, so it becomes a zechus. But on Yom Kippur, if you do what you have to do, you'll walk out of Yom Kippur with a new type of pure neshama that's been cleansed of all the tumah. You now have a neshama tahara that was given to you from the day you were born into this world in total purity and total cleanliness of your neshama. The chet and its roshem of contaminating your neshama is eradicated when it comes to Yom Kippur's experience. That's what the Rambam says. You could do tshuva kol hashana kula, which might get rid of the chet and the punishment. Even tshuva mi'ava doesn't exist. But the only time during the year that your tshuva accomplishes purification of your neshama and total purification of your entire being is on the day of Yom Kippur. Ki b'yom hazeh yechap aleichem utasa mechol chataseichem lifnei Hashem tetara. Rabbi Akiva experienced this in his own life. He went from one extreme to being the greatest gadol that ever existed in classical Jewish history, going back to the Tanakh period. He's the source of the Masara of all the Torah Shabbat Peh we have to this very day in the entire Torah world. We're learning Rabbi Kiva's Torah that he taught to his Talmidim, and they gave it to us. And this Rabbi Kiva became the Baal Tshuva par excellence, became one of the greatest Gedolei Hadar in Jewish history to show you how far a Baal Tshuva can be. Reish Lakish is the paradigm in the Amoraic world. Rabbi Kiva is the paradigm in the Tanaic world. But we have the ability in the next couple of days, if we play our cards correct, and we do a tshuva gemura, and we really mean it sincerely, and we're doing it because of avat Hashem, not because of yirat Hashem, to not only eradicate the sin from the entire history of our existence, but with the help of Yom Kippurim, to reach a state of pristine purity of taras haguf, taras hanefesh, as if we never sinned before, that's the potential capacity we're about to undertake as we start in a couple of days from now, Rosh Hashanah, leading up until Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the case, Mechila V'Slicha, it's the finality, in which the finality of all of these processes, Kaporas Averas and Taras HaNeshama, take place. That's what the value of Aseres HaMetshuva is, how powerful it is. Let's hope Rabbi Hashem will give us the koach, the moach, the energy, the desire the literal, we call his Eiruvus, to arouse ourselves and use this very, very special period of time, Dear Shebehem Ben Yimotso, to reach the highest levels of Tshuva and Torah we possibly can, with Siyata Deshmaya V'Kadosh Baruch, Hashem says, Abol Atar Mesayin Oso. You want to purify yourself, Hashem says, I'll give you divine help to help you accomplish this. We have to take the initiative. Hashem will kick in and help us complete our desire. Hopefully, I wish all of you at this moment in time, a ksiva, ksiva, teva, a year of chayim, a bracha, of health and gezunt, in all of all your activities, all your friends and family members that need refuah, shlemus, Hashem should grant them. All the klalos of the past year on Klal Yisrael should be eliminated. We should have a shnas bracha v'hatzlacha. Klal Yisrael should have the ability to get rid of the shibud hamalchios, be able to see all the anti-Semitic phenomena in the world disappear before our eyes, be able to see the ultimate geula that Hashem is going to facilitate through the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, v'mheira b'yameinu, to be zochah to see not only the bias of Mashiach, but the reestablishment of the Beis HaMikdash, and the ability for Eretz Yisrael to grow and grow and grow, and for Klal Yisrael to be able to make aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, and Hashem should give us the Siyata Shemayim to have plenty of houses and buildings that we're able to buy and dwell in, and have room for everybody to be there, take away all the expenses that are now being thrown upon people to buy diras or things in Eretz Yisrael on a very expensive inflated price. Everything should be something we're able to financially afford to be there and to be able to be zorcha, to dwell under the Shechinah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be able to have Hashem watch us continuously and give Klal Yisrael the bracha, that all the brachas HaKsuvos B'Torah should be fulfilled in us. We should become known as the Am HaNivchar, no longer suffer any wars or aggravation or terrorism or any form of people trying to show anti-Semitism. We should be zochah for that period of peace, eternal peace, worldwide peace, and ultimate bracha, v'yamein v'yamein, aksiv aksiv al techaim tov shalom.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.